the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with the first verse. And we find recorded there, the Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And I'm going to stop with those verses for my scripture reading this morning. My text I'm going to take from the 14th verse. That 14th verse again said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I'm titling my message from that verse, and it is simply, "The Word Made Flesh." The Word Made Flesh. As was already said through prayer and through our program last night and through songs today, Christmas is about Jesus. And that message needs not be forgotten. And as the scripture said today, this Word was made flesh. And you know, when we speak, we use words. And the words that we choose, they can be very powerful. Oftentimes, the words that we use can bring a smile to someone's face. And at the same time, we can use words at other times that brings tears to someone's eyes. And you know, one word can have consequences that'll affect a person for the rest of their life. Whether that word was true or false about them, it can bring consequences that follow them their whole life. And you know, you can build a person up with a word, but you can also destroy a person with a word. What I'm trying to say is, a word is a powerful thing, and more important than a word, and I'm using that in the lowercase, is the Word with a capital W, with a uppercase W. You know, we use our words to be able to communicate. I'm using words this morning as I'm trying to communicate the sermon that God's given me to share with you today. And without words, there wouldn't be any communication. Without words, my wife wouldn't be able to tell me what to do. And without words, I wouldn't be able to get the last word in. Yes, dear. So, you know, we use words to be able to communicate. And words, they express what's in our hearts. When we use the word love and we tell someone, "I love you," We're expressing to them feelings, and we're expressing to them emotions that we hold that are deep in our heart. And so what I'm trying to say, there are certain words that we use that shouldn't be used haphazardly. I mean, you shouldn't tell somebody you love them if you don't love them. It should come from our heart. And so the words that we use have great importance. And, you know, words are the mix of communication. And they enable us to be able to communicate to other people. It reminds me in the scriptures, you'll remember the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the Word of God tells us that a miracle was worked among the messengers of God as they communicated the message to the people. If you recall in that portion of Scripture, the Word tells us that the men of God spake, and they spake in languages. They were able to communicate with a crowd of people of many different ethnicities and many different languages, but they were able to preach and teach the Word of God in languages that people were able to understand and were able to comprehend. I'm reminded of several of our preaching brethren that went over to Africa to some of the mission works that we support in Africa. And as these brethren got up to preach, and you know, it's a little strange and an awkward to have to do this way, but the preaching brethren that went didn't speak the language of the people. So they would speak in English their message, but yet they had an interpreter there that would hear what they said in English, and then they would communicate to the hearers in their language. And that's a difficult thing to do if you're trying to preach. You know, we get in a rhythm, and but you got to slow it down, and you got to back down a little bit and just say a little piece and let the interpreter say it. But the end result of it all was they understood what was being spoken, and they understood what the message was. And, you know, sometimes we have trouble when we're trying to speak to people understanding words. I had some men come to my house this summer. I had some storm damage and some things that had to be done, and I had to have my roof replaced. And the man that came out, I spoke to him. He spoke to me. We talked about the job, and I committed to do the job. Well, when it came time to do the job, they came in force. There were three trucks that pulled up, and I think there was about four people to every truck, and they piled out. And I came out, and I said, "Good morning, how are you doing?" And they said, "No speak of the English." And so we had a little bit of a language barrier. But they did good work. They understood what the boss man said, and they did what he said, and the work was done, and the work was done good, and the work was done right. But sometimes we have those kind of language barriers. And the other thing about words, you know, we know people through their words. Maybe you've heard the expression before, "I liked him or her until he or she opened their mouth." And so, you know, the words that we speak, they give an indication sometimes of who we really are. You know, we may act one way, but sometimes the words that we use, the vocabulary that we use, it tells a different story about who we are. And I want us to understand this morning that God communicates to us through words. And, you know, we hold in our hands, and I hope everybody has one of these. And if not, you let me know. We'll get you one. But this is called the Word of God. This is what we call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And within the pages of this book, it's the recorded words spoken to us by the Lord. And we can read the Bible, and we can hear the Lord speak to us. You know, there was another time and day in history when the Lord spoke directly to people. The Lord doesn't speak directly to us in an audible voice, but He speaks to us through His Word, and He speaks to us through the Spirit of God. And as we look at these pages, you know, God's words, they're described to us in certain ways. I don't know if you view God's Word this way, but the psalmist, in his writings, in the 119th Psalm, in the 103rd verse, he said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." He said, "Sweeter than honey to my mouth." I thought about when Jeremiah was praying in the 15th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and in the 16th verse, he said, "Thy words were found." And he said, "I did eat them." And this is the part I like. He said, "And thy words was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart." You ever felt that way when you were reading God's Word and God's Word speaks to you? It can bring joy to us and we can rejoice in our hearts because of the words that the Lord has given to us, and we receive the promises that God has given to us through His Word, and it should bring joy and it should bring rejoicing into our hearts. God made His clearest communication to us through the Word. God did more than give us words. The Scriptures teach us that He gave us the Word. And He communicated Himself. He has shown Himself to us through the living Word, the living communication of Himself, the communication of the Word. And if you haven't caught on by now, the Scripture refers to Jesus Christ as the Word. The Word of God is His Son, Jesus. That was expressed in the very first verse that I shared with you in my Scripture reading this morning. The Bible tells us that the Word was present from the beginning of all things. In the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse of the Word of God, it tells us that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that was the beginning point of everything that has ever been. The beginning in Genesis, it's the ground zero, if you will, of everything that exists. Verse 10 of my reading this morning said that the world was made by Him. Verse 3 of my reading said, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, there was no created thing that was in existence because nothing had yet been created. But at that point, it said the Word, Jesus Christ, was already there. He already was before the beginning took place. And He has always been there. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was with God the Father. We believe in the teachings of God's Word, of the Trinity, of the Godhead. It's not always a clear theological idea for some people to be able to understand. It's hard for them to understand the Trinity, but we just need to accept it as we find it revealed to us in the Scripture. And this passage that I've shared with you this morning reveals that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity or of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit is the third. And the language or the wording that's used here in Scripture means that the Word, with a capital W, is referring to Jesus. And we believe that through the Scriptures that Jesus, He was face to face with God the Father. The Scripture said that the Word, Jesus, was with God. And it said that the same was in the beginning with God. So brothers and sisters, this gives us a view of that there is a distinction that exists between the persons of the Trinity. And it also gives us the view that the persons of the Trinity, they're equal. Brothers and sisters, there's always been a perfect fellowship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And before that there was time, before the beginning, the Bible tells us that Jesus was with God the Father. And it tells us that He was and He is God. That since God existed before there was creation and Jesus was present before creation, that Jesus was not only with God, but the Scriptures tells us that He was and that He is God. And verse 1 again affirms that truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is distinction between the persons of the Trinity. And there is also equality between the persons of the Trinity. The Bible said that the Word is God. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus is a God. It doesn't say that. It says that Jesus is God. And make no mistake about it this morning. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is completely and He is fully God. Jesus has always existed with the Father. He's God's perfect Word, the communication. And he is the expression of himself. And in verse 14 of my reading today, it expressed to us that that word, Jesus, that word, he became flesh. That's where we find the message of Christmas. I said that Christmas time, as we come to celebrate it, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes Christmas so special to us. This is what makes Christmas so special to the world. Christmas is not just about Christmas presents. It's not just about eating fantastic meals during the holiday. Fun activities. I enjoy doing those things. Christmas is more than families being able to gather together. And of course, people aren't going to be able to do that this year, maybe like they have done in years past. It's more than Christmas cantatas that churches put on or Christmas programs that we put on, although those are fun and they are a blessing. But Christmas is about the day that the Word became flesh. It's about the day that God took on flesh. That was part of what we were trying to, message that we were trying to get across last night in our live nativity. In chapter 2 of the book of Luke, and in verse 7, it tells us that she, and it was referring to Mary, and it says, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. He grew. We know from reading the scriptures that this child that was born, that this Word, Jesus, that became flesh. In fact, the angel even told him what this child was going to be called. And he became flesh. And he grew. And he walked among his creation. And verse 14 said, he dwelt among us. He still dwells among us. He's not some far away deity that can't be reached. You know, when we look into God's Word, God is, he's accessible. He's not inaccessible, but he is accessible. And God is just not out there somewhere unconcerned. I serve a true and a living God who's concerned about his creation. God has not left us to our own devices. Now, I realize this morning that there are many people that are living this life to their own devices. And I'll tell you what, if they don't look to the Lord, they're going to die in their sins and they're going to spend eternity in hell separated apart from God. God loves us. He's concerned about us. That's the reason for his Son coming and him becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. And he came down. When Jesus came down, he was born that first, what we call Christmas morning. It's a time that we have selected to celebrate the birth of Christ. And he came and he tabernacled, or he set up his tent with his creation. And Jesus was God amongst us. And he stepped off that throne that he had in heaven, and he came to give light to this world. Jesus himself said in John's Gospel in the 8th chapter, in the 12th verse, he said, I am the light of the world. And he said that he came Let me go back. He said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me doesn't walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what Jesus does. He illuminates himself within us when he saves our soul and places the indwelling of the Spirit of God within us. Jesus came, and he came with purpose. And I want us to know that with all that's going on in the world today, God is not unfamiliar with our struggles, and he's not unfamiliar with the strives that we're going through in this life. He knows exactly what we're going through, and the reason is because he came and he dwelt among us. And as a result of that, he's been here, and he has lived here, and he has walked here, and he has died here. The Word, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord, has been here. And he knows what you and he knows what I feel. And he knows what we experience in this life. And let me tell you something this morning. His love is bigger than any problem that you'll ever face in this life. And I'm thankful today for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes our minds get inquisitive. Sometimes we wonder what God must be like. And sometimes we wonder, what does God look like? What does he act like? And you know, what does he talk like? And God's ways and actions, I want you to know, they are not a mystery to us. God is not a mystery to us. And the reason for that is we don't have to wonder about those things. And the reason we don't have to wonder about those things is because He was revealed to us by Jesus Christ. That's what He came for, that we might be able to see God the Father and that we might be able to have an understanding of Him. And when we read about Jesus, we're reading about God. And when we wonder how God feels about pain and we wonder how God feels about suffering in the world, we see how He feels in Jesus and how Jesus felt and how He reacted. We know about God and we can know God by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has shown us God because He is God. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, through our salvation experience, the Lord gives us the right to become the children of God. God wants us to be His children. How do we become children of God? We become a child of God by having a relationship with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty." You see, God, He wants to have a relationship with His creation. He wants to have a relationship with all of humanity. God desires for us to be His children. And He gives us that opportunity to be His children through His only begotten Son, Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. And if we will but trust in Him, if we will but have faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will just have faith and trust in His purpose for which He came, if we'll just have faith and trust in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary, the teaching of God's Word is that we then can be adopted into the family of God as a child of God. I'm thankful this morning that I can make the claim that I'm a child of God. And I am a child of God because the Word, Jesus, came to bring life. And not only did He come to bring life, but the Scripture says He came to bring life that it might be a more abundant life, that we might be able to have the promise of eternal life. And of course, it comes to us through the message of the gospel. It comes to us through that message of the gospel, which is all about the birth that we're celebrating this holiday season, but it goes beyond that. We just don't focus on the birth of Christ at this time of the year. We got to look past that, as we did in our program last night. We went from the birth of Christ to the crucifixion of Christ, to the entombment of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. It's because of all of those things that we can receive the Word, capital W, Jesus, that we can receive Him through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved. We are reborn again spiritually when we receive that life that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, when He removes the burden of sin and He places within our heart the peace and joy of a relationship with Him. I'm so thankful today that when the Lord saves us, He changes us from the inside out. You know, we're no longer who we used to be. The Bible says we become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And it's through this faith in Jesus that our attitudes are rearranged and our motives and our desires are changed. Brother Overton used to say, when the Lord saves you, He changes your want to. And the things that you want to do changes. And I can't tell you throughout my ministry the changes that I've seen in people's lives, from the way that they lived, the way that they acted, the way that they spoke before they were saved. And then when they got saved, they were a completely different person. And you could just see the joy in their face light up, and just the change that takes place. And being born again makes us spiritually alive. And it puts us into God's family. The Word, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's how I was saved. And if you've been saved, that's how you were saved. And if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, if you're ever going to be saved, that's the way that you're going to be saved, by and through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. My text once again said, "And the Word was made flesh meaning became human, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, meaning that Jesus is God's only and unique Son, full of grace and full of truth. You know, there is two most common errors that people make about Jesus, and that is to minimize his humanity and to minimize his divinity. And I can tell you this morning that Jesus is both God and man, and you can know him personally, and you can know him intimately through a salvation experience. The Word of God is clear that there's only one way, right? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said in another portion of God's Word that there's one mediator. A mediator is a go-between. And the Scripture said there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So in order to be able to receive the greatest gift, I'm getting some gifts this Christmas. I already know that. I've peeked under the tree. I've seen my name on a few packages. I've been telling you the last couple of weeks that some people even pick them up and shake them. I can tell you that because I know that from experience. I've done that. Some of them make some really strange sounds. I don't know what they are, but I'm going to enjoy that experience. But I can tell you with all sincerity and honest of heart today, I have never received a gift any better or a gift any more precious to me than when the Lord saved my soul. When he took away that burden of heart and that conviction, you know, why do you have burden? Why do you have a conviction? Well, because that's the way God speaks to us. I said God speaks to us through his Word, but he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. I preach the Word of God as the Lord gives it to me, but that's all I can do. What happens to the Word of God after that? Well, it finds its lodging in the hearts of individuals, saved and unsaved. And it'll speak to your heart. If you're here this morning, a child of God, I hope that the message is speaking to your heart this morning and you're reminded of what Jesus did for you and that you can rejoice in having a relationship with him. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, I hope you're hearing the Word today and that the Spirit of God has put a lodging in your heart that's created a burden, an unrest. That's what conviction is. That's how I knew that I needed Jesus in my life. That's how I come to the realization that I was a sinner, that I was lost, and I was separated from God. That was the awakening that my eyes were opened from the blindness of sin, and I saw who I was before God. But thanks be unto the Lord, because of the gospel and because of the Word, because of Jesus, I knew what I needed. And what I needed to do is I needed to surrender unto the Lord. I needed to come before him with a repentant heart of faith, trusting and believing in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the saving of my soul. How did I know I was saved? Because the preacher told me? No. He can't look in my heart. He don't know what's inside of me. I knew that I was saved because of God and his Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God removes the burden and puts a joy and a peace and a love within our hearts. You know that for yourself. Nobody has to tell you that. That's what happened to me. It's served me. And I've depended on it all these years later. I was 9 years old when the Lord saved me. I'm 62 years old today. I'm just as saved today as I was when I was 9 years old. I'm just as happy about it too. I'm just as thankful and grateful that God saw fit to save my soul. This can be, if you're here this morning and unsaved, you know, this can be the merriest of Christmas for you. If you'll just trust and obey and seek the Lord for his mercy and his grace unto salvation. You know, we sing a song sometime that's entitled, Trust and Obey. It says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you can trust in Jesus today as your Lord. You can trust in him today as your Savior. And you can receive his gift. The Bible calls it a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can have the blessing of eternal life and that promise. You can leave here today if you're not saved, saved. You can leave here today a new creature in Christ. We're going to have a song of invitation. You may be unfamiliar with that, with what that means. A song of invitation is just providing an opportunity. I believe in order to be saved, God's got to speak in the, got to be speaking to your heart. You got to be burdened. You got to be convicted. And more than anything else, you got to want that gift. And when God's conviction or burden is upon our hearts, that's His invitation of the Spirit to come and to seek the Lord. So we don't do it every service, but many services, at the close of the service, I will give an invitation. And all that really is an opportunity for you to bow unto the Lord and pray. As I've already said, I don't have the power or the ability to save anybody. If I had that power, I might be selective. I might decide who gets it and who don't. But see, God is not a respecter of persons. He's the only one that can save. But we provide the opportunity for you to come and bow and talk to the Lord. Now, God's people will gather and pray as well. Our prayer will be a little bit different than yours. Your prayer will be praying that God will forgive you of your sins and remove the burden of sin and save you. Our prayer will be that God will hear your prayer and that God will save you, and that we'll be able to rejoice with you in the blessings of salvation. But it's an opportunity for you to bow. These benches up here is a good place to come and bow. If you feel like it, you can bow in your pew. It don't matter. God can save anywhere. He can save anywhere in this house. If He's dealing with you at your home, He can save you at home or out in the field working or driving down the road. It's anywhere that you get serious with God and trust in Him that He can save you. But I don't want to leave here today without giving that opportunity. So let's stand together. Let's have a verse or two of song. If the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning and you feel the need to seek Him, we give you the invitation to come. All you got to do is trust Him. Trust Him now. While we're singing this morning, does somebody need to come and trust in the Lord this morning? The invitation is before you. We don't make anybody come. We don't drag anybody to an altar. You need to want it for yourself. God needs to speak to your heart and you need to respond. Is there one today that needs Jesus? Will you come as we sing? While we sing one more verse, I want to give you every opportunity if the Lord is drawing you to an altar today. God bless you is my prayer today. If you've been saved by the grace of God, rejoice in the blessing. If you're unsaved this morning, I don't know what keeps people from seeking the Lord when they know that their only hope is in Him and what the consequences can be, but I want you to know this. This pastor and this church, we're praying for you. We're concerned about your soul. And, you know, having a relationship with the Lord isn't just about beyond this life. You know, having a relationship with the Lord is enjoying the fellowship now and what God has for us now. And I'm glad that I trusted Him. Word on anyone's heart before we dismiss our service today. Anything at all? Well, Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you do get to enjoy holiday together with family or friends, at least some. And as the season is upon us and as we celebrate on Christmas Day, let's be mindful of what the true celebration is. All those other things are good. They have a place. But we need to think about what we're really celebrating. No service tonight. Join us next Sunday for service. Anything else on our hearts? Any announcements to be made? If not, Michael, would you dismiss us, please?